The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Ulster Bank. For when you want business experts that get to know you, not just your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/businessmatters.
Well, Brexit, while it remains unclear, it wasn't the only thing up in the air this week. A drone sighting shut down operations at Dublin Airport. Flights were suspended for a short period, while very mild in comparison with the recent incidents at Heathrow and Gatwick. For some, it was a worrying development. Drones are the business of my next guest. Julie Garland is the chief executive of Thunder Tiger Aviation. She's worked in the aviation industry for 30 years, piloting airplanes, and now she provides drone training. Julie, you could say this wasn't a very good week for drones.
Well, we'll start off by saying the alleged drone at Dublin Airport. It seems to me at the moment that every single piece of debris that ends up fluttering around an airport gets classified as a drone. And so we
need
to.
Do you think the pilot might have been mistaken?
I wouldn't like to disagree with what the pilot believes that they saw, but there's an automatic assumption at the moment that if something is at an airport, it could be a balloon, it could be a plastic bag. We have had previous sightings that have been identified as drones initially and have turned out to be debris.
If it was a drone, and obviously the pilot believed that it was based on what he saw, what are the possible explanations for that? I mean, a lot of people automatically assume it's an irresponsible fool or idiot doing it for the crack, basically, whatever that means in relation to doing that.
For sure, for sure. I mean, a lot of these incidents are down to idiots, are down to somebody not realising the consequences of their actions. Somebody goes, they fly their drone, they fly it towards an airfield, maybe they lose control, maybe they lose the communications between the drone and the receiver. So it could be that. It could also be that they are just plain idiots and have no idea of the consequences of their actions and the damage that they could do.
The kind of threats that could be there based on the technology that exists, it's useful just to explore why pilots and airport authorities are so nervous about them and why it's such a no-go area. What could happen or what might they be capable of doing?
But if you think of, take a normal sized drone, you know, it's a couple of kilos in weight. And if you think of that impacting the aircraft, whether it's the aircraft on departure, whether it's the aircraft on landing, it could be ingested into the engine, cause severe damage to the engine. The pilots are trained to deal with these scenarios. I mean, we do end up with bird strikes and bird ingestion and, you know, hail damage to windscreens. So the pilots are trained to deal with these scenarios. But if you ended up with more than one drone, then you could possibly have a much more catastrophic event. But a single drone is very unlikely to bring down an airliner.
The more sinister interpretation as well, is it possible that they could carry an explosive device and somebody could deliberately fly it into a plane?
Of course, you could end up with a swarm of drones where you've got multiple drones. You could end up with something being attached to the drone. But you still need a reasonably skilled pilot to actually hit the airplane then, even if there is something attached to the drone. So you need a reasonably skilled drone pilot as well.
What is the law regarding where you can and cannot use them?
At the moment, the regulation, the Irish, the national regulations here in Ireland are that you shouldn't be flying a drone within 5 kilometres of an airport. And if you do want to fly within 5 kilometres of an airport, you should be getting permission from the airport authority. So therefore, you would have to be a licensed operator in order to get anywhere closer than that to the airport.
Is that within 5 kilometres of any perimeter of the airport? So in other words, if you lived in Ballymun, let's say, or you lived in, I don't know, maybe close to Swords or St Margaret's or somewhere like that, you can't fly a drone.
Once your drone is over a kilo, those rules apply to you, yes.
What about the question of the usage of drones? And obviously there's a whole spectrum of positive aspects to using them vis-a-vis cameras, the quality of imagery, and in training people to use them properly. What kinds of industries do you find are interested in them?
The spectrum is endless. If you take blue light services, you take police, you take ambulance, fire brigade, search and rescue, civil defence have a huge drone arsenal that they use in a lot of rescue missions and search missions. That's just on the kind of blue light services, and then get into things like precision agriculture, where you look at trying to take chemicals out of our food chain. So you look at where you examine crops, you look at areas of low growth, so they're the areas you fertilise, you look at areas where there's weeds growing, they're the only areas that you actually put weed killer on, so you remove a lot of the chemicals from our own food chain. And then get into things like mapping, surveys, surveying roads, railways, infrastructure generally, buildings, looking at power lines.
So how did you get into this business? You started out as a pilot, obviously flying larger aircraft than drones. Yeah. Flying a drone must seem very easy to you. But you trained as a pilot.
I did. I trained as a pilot out in Weston Airport, out in the National Flight Centre out in Weston Airport. Going back to, I'm going to age myself, back to the late 90s, I started off my flying out there. And then I flew with Air Arran as a captain, a training captain with Air Arran, and then for CityJet as a training captain and a type rating instructor for CityJet.
And when did the drone part of this come along?
So I, from there, I actually trained as a barrister and I went into the law library. And at that time, between the combination, I had an engineering background as well. So I had an engineering, flying background and then legal background. And at that time, I was talking with the Aviation Authority and drones were just starting to kick off. It was about 2014 and the amount of drones in the country was starting to increase. So I spoke to them about how do we regulate them, but also how do we put a structure in place? I'd always been involved in flight training. So how do we put some kind of structure in place to make sure that we could actually license people and allow people to fly drones, but to have them doing it in an educated way and in the safest possible manner as well. So we thought training was going to be the best way to do that and licensing people to allow them to fly drones rather than just restricting drones.
During your piloting days, I'm just thinking Julie Garland, it sounds very close to Judy Garland. Did anyone ever make any mistake about that?
Sure, I had several. When I was an apprentice engineer, my classmate was Warren Beatty. So we used to have great fun as 17 and 18 year olds going up to nightclubs with our IDs. Also, I used to fly with a guy called John Lennon. And so you do your PA this year, Captain Judy Garland speaking with me today as First Officer John Lennon. And you just have to wait for the laughter to stop. But I also, when I was flying with Air Arran, I actually approached Porrig again, I said, you know, I want to change our standard PAs. And I said, today I'd like to do a PA. And I said, this is your Captain Judy Garland speaking today. Very welcome on board our flight from Galway to Dublin today. We'll be following the Yellow Brick Road and three clicks on my heels and we'll be there.
Did he let you?
He did, of course. It's boring.
Well, Julie Garland of Thunder Tiger Aviation, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Pleasure, Richard. Thank you.